It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. A little late getting started this morning. We just had several little issues that we had to get past, but here we are. Amen. And Monica fixed the little thing to go on there that said we'll be starting soon. So that I think that's very good to have, so people aren't just wondering, are they coming on today? Are they not coming on today? What's going on? You know, it was good for me to stay home for a few days, 1 week, to kind of see exactly what it feels like to be out there. And that's when I told Monica, I said, you know, we need to start on time, or we need to have something up there that looks like we're here, at least. So anyway, little by little, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, maybe we'll get this figured out. You reckon? This is the Hour of Power. I'm Neva Pyatt, your host this morning. Miss Monica is over there running the iPad. Sister Judy Gifford is our guest today. And we are always so thrilled to have Sister Judy in here.
Thank you.
Speak up.
I love it. I enjoy it always. Always a bunch of fun, and enjoyed ministering to the people, and it's just fun.
We always enjoy having you because you have such a sweet spirit, and you're always so full of the love and the glory of our Lord. So we appreciate that.
Got to stay that way as best I can.
Amen.
Sometimes that little ugly Judy gets out and I slap her back in line.
No way. There's no ugly Judy in there. Our Facebook sponsor today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, and we appreciate each one of our sponsors so very much. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, and about halfway through the program, we will stop and pray for your needs. Or you can send it to our texting line, 580-485-0837. So several ways that you can get that to us. You can also send it to our email, which is hourofpower32@gmail.com. So I think maybe I've covered everything, Sister Judy. Will you pray to start us out?
Yes, ma'am. Father, we just thank you today for life and breath and strength, for happiness, for peace in our heart. Lord, most of all, today I give you praise and honor that you went to the cross, Jesus, and you gave your life and you rose again, Lord. And because of what you did, we sit here today knowing that we're saved and on our way to heaven. Father, I ask for the anointing in this room today. I realize I am nothing and you are everything. I can do nothing without you. And I ask, God, that your peace and your sweetness, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, will be upon those who listen, and that your name will be glorified and the people will be edified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So what kind of lesson or message do you have for us today, Sister Judy?
Let me tell you, this shocked me. Really, it surprised me when I said, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And the word hell came to me. And I'm like, what? See, that word, so many times people have used it for a cuss word, but it's really not a cuss word. It's a place. It is a place. And then the enemy, I mean, people use it, you know, and they tell people to go there. Well, let me tell you, nobody needs to go there. And nobody has to go there. That's the good part. It wasn't made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. And you say, well, who goes? Who goes to hell? And who? And how does God choose who goes to heaven and who goes to hell? Well, do you know he paid a mighty big price to make sure that man can go to this place called heaven and escape this place called hell? He wanted you in heaven so much that really God had a problem, if you want to realize. God had a problem. You say, does God have any problem? The way I look at it, I see is God had a dilemma here. He set these two people in the garden, and he said, look, the thousands of plants and the thousands of trees and all the hundreds and hundreds of fruits you can have, just one thing I ask you not to do is don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't even think he told them to not touch the tree of life. The tree of life was there. And the tree of life's going to be in heaven. And we're going to be able to eat from that tree of life. And we will live forever and ever and ever. And we be renewing us and helping us with that tree of life. But God just asked them one thing. And what was so precious is I don't understand this part about God, but I guess we have inherited his nature that he gave us. You know what I love to do? I love to be with my friends. Mm-hmm. Fellowship is a real important thing. It's one of the things going to be missing in hell is friendship and fellowship. I've heard that some people said, party. When I get to hell, I'm going to party with my friends. Let me tell you what. If you want to know what hell's going to be like and you think you're going to party, start a bonfire out in the middle of your driveway somewhere and jump in it and see how much of a party you can have. If you're jumping into the middle of pain and anguish, there's no party in the middle of fire, in the middle of hell. And people don't, you know what they're talking about. But Jesus came. God would come. Actually, God himself would come down in the middle of the day, in the cool of the day. So what's the cool of the day? Is it early morning or is it, what would you call it? Early morning or late evening or early evening?
Early morning or early evening.
Yeah. And at least once a day, he came down and visited with them. And what fellowship? Have any of you ever sat in a church service where you felt the presence of God? Monica and I were talking about it today. It is the most sweet, the most precious feeling in the world. In that, there is comfort. There is feeling like you're where you need to be. You're with your best friend. You feel safe. You feel secured. You feel loved. All when the presence of Jesus comes. I felt his presence last night. Maybe this is why this was on my mind, but I went to Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames, and the community church in Hammond is having this. It's going to be again tonight. It's going to be Wednesday night, and I would suggest.
Oh, were they having it
through Wednesday? Yeah, they said last night that so people can bring their youth groups because they had so many people saying, we have ball games Tuesday night and can't be there. And so they've extended it so that people can bring their youth groups. So I would just encourage, if you haven't seen it, if you have little kids, I'd say from about 10 years old and up, actually, one of my little grandsons, I think he's 7, and they took it, and he answered the altar call, and he said, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to go there. And it helped him to realize that at 7 years old, a lot of kids are at the age of accountability in this generation. They used to say the age of accountability was 12. When my mom was little, you know. And they even told her she couldn't get saved till she was 12 years old, which we know is not right because I've heard of kids 4 and 5. I got saved at 5. And kids 4 and 5 know enough and can grasp enough. Even I was sitting in a huge, not a huge service, but an adult service is what I meant to say. Receive the Lord. And so take your kids. I wouldn't say sometimes maybe 5 and under might be too little to watch this drama, you know, but they have children's church going on back in the other part. So if you want to take your kids and drop them off there, then you can go on in and watch it. So I would just suggest it because really it's something that we don't get reminded of a whole lot, that there really is, really, really is a heaven and there really, really is a hell. And then how do I know? If you ask some people and you just stop and say, which one are you going to? What do you think the biggest answer would be? What if you ask people, are you going to heaven or hell? And you just take a majority of people and say, go to Walmart and ask people, or take a group of people, say 20 people. And you go, are you sure where you're going to go? What do you think people would say? I don't know. Well, I've been pretty good. I think maybe God will let me out. My bad deeds probably don't outweigh my good deeds. Maybe they do. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I've been good enough to make it. Well, let me tell you, you can put all of that aside because that has your goodness or your badness has absolutely nothing to do whether you'll go to heaven or hell. And you say, how could that be? Well, because your sin was so bad. It takes a lot more than your goodness to get you to heaven. It took blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood. Blood, that means something or somebody has to die. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God can't forgive you. He could not forgive you because of his justice. God is all, he's good. He's merciful. He's forgiving, but he can't forgive you until his justice is satisfied. And guess how that justice was satisfied? It was through the best sacrifice ever. And see, he began to try to show the people. He tried to show them Jesus is coming. And Jesus is going to be the sacrifice. There is a Savior coming. He's coming. Israel is looking for him. He's called Messiah. He's coming. They're still looking because they rejected the Jesus. Because they expected him to come in with majesty. Well, he will one of these days. He will come with that majesty. But instead, he came like a little lamb. And the Bible says he came for a purpose. He came to give his life a ransom for many. Come and knowing his purpose, knowing what he was going to do. He knew because he went to the garden, and he knew what was coming. He knew pain was coming. He knew he had to pay that sin debt. And the human part of him said, Lord, if it be your will, could there be another way? Is it possible there could be another way? If it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And God, I don't know what God said to Jesus in his heart, but three times Jesus went back and said, God, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But it was God's will. It pleased the Lord. That is hard to grasp. It pleased the Lord. Why did it please the Lord to bruise Jesus when he was his son? Not that he wanted to see Jesus hurt. He wanted to redeem us. He knew there was no other way than a sin payment, a blood sacrifice. And so that's why the Bible calls Jesus the Lamb of God, because he went without a word. He didn't fight him. He didn't say, you nasty men, get away from me. He didn't stand and fight. Most of us would fight when people come to take our life. We would fight with every ounce in us to live. But Jesus had a purpose. He knew what that purpose was. And he was, I believe, in his mind. I don't know if he individually knew, but somehow he knew. Down the line somewhere, Judy's down there. And if I don't give my life, she's going to be lost. He knew that humanity's down there, and someone had to give their life. And he willingly, the Bible said, went to the cross. Even looking down, when they're torturing him, they've whipped his back. They have pulled a cat of nine tails through the flesh of his back. They said it wasn't just a whip. I can't imagine just being whipped. Have you ever been hit with a towel when somebody's hit? That's as close as I've got to it. When my sons are playing with me, when there's teenagers that whip, and they get you once in a while. I hit you, and that kind of hurt. And I can't imagine a bullwhip where somebody's really whipped. But imagine a bullwhip that has bone and metal tied in it and shards of glass. And when that is hit, that it pulls and it pulls it. Can you imagine that his back after 40 times, save one, 39 times that they have hit his back? And also, side note, I heard this week that they said there's 39 basic diseases and the very base of the disease. And I don't know if that's true. That's what I've just heard. But that every disease of mankind, and we know whether that's that piece of information is correct or not, we know this, that Jesus' stripes he took on his back were for the healing of the nations. That's part of our atonement, is our healing. And we haven't been taught that enough, that we can grasp salvation, but healing's harder to grasp because we're not worthy of it. You know, some things for me, literally, I know when I pray about it, it's done. I mean, I know, and there's almost a tenaciousness in me and going, this ain't happening. I have a friend, and when she calls me, it's like, well, that ain't happening, girl. We got this. And God has done so many, even giving her a car for $5,000 when she said, there's no way. I need about $15,000. She had a wreck, and the insurance was only wanting to give her $7,000 for a car. So we prayed, and I said, God, I know you can do this. $5,000 for that car. Whatever, find her a car for $5,000. God brought her a car. Her son went over to do a job for someone. The neighbor came over. He said, you wouldn't know anybody's wanting to sell a car. My mom had a wreck, and her car, they totaled it. You know anybody that has a car, pretty good car? And the guy said, well, I'm thinking about selling mine. And he said, well, what would you sell it for? And he said, oh, $5,000. And she got a better car that has all the bells and whistles on it for $5,000. You think God doesn't answer prayer?
Amen.
Yes. What about my ring? God answered me. I mean, after last March's revival, it was so great. And when it was over, you kind of have a letdown, you know. And I was feeling a little mully grubs, and I sat down on the bed. And I said, Lord, I don't have my honey. and I don't have his ring. But I know you know where it is. Would you send your angel to go get it and bring it to me? And, Lord, where I think it is, I think it's in the city dump. Because we heard it fall on the floor. We never could find it. We went and got the broom. We swept the floor. We never found it. So the only thing that makes any sense is that we accidentally swept it up. Something was over it or something. Because I was sweeping his using the little deal. Couldn't find it. And then to just pray that prayer and walk up. Would you send your angel to go get it, Lord? A week later, my grandson goes to the back closet. That's all just shelves. My husband made it. He made it like in a square so you can stand and you can just see kind of what's up there, except when it's where it's too tall for me to see. But my grandson's taller than me. And I said, go back in that back closet. We were hunting cassette tapes. Go back in that closet and see if there's any there. He come carrying this plastic sack. I said, oh, you found my Christmas cards, because in it were Christmas cards from the year 2000 that if people said something nice about me, I don't keep those if they don't say something nice about me. I used to, and it gets too much for all the years. So anyway, these was the year 2000, and they had just a stack about like that, and the gallon deal was about like that. So old that there were three holes somehow in that plastic sack. But anyway, he came bringing that to me, and I said, oh, you found my old Christmas cards. And he said, yeah, but Mimi, there's a ring in it. I said, a ring? And I laid that down, stuck my finger in one of those holes, and reached down and found. And there was the missing wedding ring that I dropped on the floor 3.5 to 4 years ago. And there it was. And I mean, I'd swept that floor hundreds of times in those 3.5 years, mopped that floor, looked up in that chair, I don't know how many times for this thing. And people said, well, maybe a mouse got it laying on the floor and took it up and put it in there. Well, I don't know how God did it. I don't know how, but I think he did what I asked him, sent his angel and went and did it, you know. But sometimes the healing of our personal body is harder to believe for me, for my own self, because I will think, well, I'm not good enough. Well, here's my weakness. Well, here's what, you know. But anyway, all that to say, salvation and healing was provided through the cross. And the Bible says, what do you have to do to get salvation and not go to hell? The Bible says, whosoever shall, what, Monica?
Jesus.
Call. Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord. It might just be the word Jesus. That's good enough. Jesus is what Steve Hill did. Jesus. And God came and saved him and delivered him and touched him. Whosoever shall call, that's me, I'm a whosoever. And I can call on the name of the Lord, and the Bible says, I will be saved. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. I may not be faithful and just, but he is. And he makes up for it. So all I have to do is call him and say, Father, I call on the name of the Lord, save me. And the Bible says, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just. He's just. He'll keep his promises. He's not a liar. If you come to, and I love this part. So, well, I've been too bad. I've just been too bad. Here's what it says, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it doesn't matter. And it says, he that cometh, this is what I was trying to think of. He that cometh to me, Jesus is saying this. You come to Jesus. He that comes to me, you decide you want to come to Jesus. He said, he will in no wise cast you out. Come on. He will in no wise cast you out. So don't think you're the one exception. I heard of that one. I talked about it once when I was here, about the young man who was sitting in church, who was an atheist. He had been invited and went pressured apparently for someone else and just went there. He's sitting there mocking and making fun of. But all of a sudden he felt this drawing, almost like his shirt, he said, was being pulled. And he went down there, but his mind wasn't quite yet surrendered. And he started cussing at the altar. But then he said, but God, if you're really real, because he thought it was all a joke. But he said, if you're really real, then I want you and I will give you everything. And he right there called on the name of the Lord. And he was saved. And I just want to say here, Jeremiah 29:11, there's someone out there that needs this today. That's the scripture says that I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. No matter what you're in today, here's what God's saying. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And this is the sweet part. And you will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will search for me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So see, that's all it takes is all. That's all it takes is all. You just give everything. And one said, will it cost you? In a way, nothing, and in a way, everything. Because you come and you just surrender it all. And the song says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him and in his presence daily live. This scripture comes to my mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will bring it to pass. There are things in your life that you need and you want, and you cannot bring it to pass. But he says, if you will delight in him, if you will love him best, the scripture right under that is 37:4, Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord. I watch Monica, and she delights in being here. She's delighted right now. She's having a fit back there behind that.
She's not doing cartwheels, but almost.
Yeah, almost. She is so excited. But delighting in the Lord is so fun because what you delight in, you delight in. You know, I mean, it's delightful, and you love it, and you enjoy it, and the Bible says when you feel that way about Jesus, guess what? He just washes you and cleanses you. And the desires of your heart, you'll find out changes. Why does a missionary want to go live in Africa? He can't wait to get over there. Because God's changed his desires. And it's exciting and it's wonderful. And he loves it. And when you come to Jesus, the Bible says old things are passed away. All that old junk, all that old hate, bitterness, self-pity, envy, strife, all of that stuff. When we come in, sometimes we have to keep committing ourselves over and over to the Lord because we got a human nature. And it came to my mind last night when I was thinking about this to read what the human nature is like. The human nature is really kind of nasty sometimes. You know what I mean? We can get in our base person. The Bible says all have sinned. There's not anybody that's sitting here and go, I'm a saint, I'm a saint, I'm a saint. Well, we are if we're washed in the blood of Jesus, but it's only through him, and we can't go around bragging what we are. We brag about Jesus and what he has done, what he's done in us to change us.